Good morning to everyone. How have you been? Well, today we read in chapter 3 now of St. Mark's Gospel, the narration about Jesus withdrawing with his disciples to the lakeside, with great crowds from Galilee following him. From Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, Transjordania, and the region of Tyre and Sidon. Great numbers who had heard of all he was doing came to him. And he asked his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, to keep him from being crushed. Can you imagine this? I wonder whether you've been in the position, for example, of the Beatles, with so many fans going crazy for them. Literally. And how they run to them and endeavor to touch them, get their autographs, buy their records, their and listen to their works. Or maybe you could have placed yourself in the stead of Saint John Paul II when he would visit countries, and he would have those masses. He would say mass in a place, and so many people there. I was present when he was in Manila in 1995 for World Youth Day. Wow, they said that they were 5 million. And I do remember that I spent the night before the culminating mass was said. And we gathered there with my group. I had two groups to take care of, one from a school and the other one was from a center of Opus Dei. And we went there so early. I mean, I don't know, late morning or early afternoon, right after noon. And there were so many people already. And I say that because we couldn't get a place closer to the grandstand of Luneta, of the Quirino grandstand. I think we were behind even the flagpole, if you know the arrangement of the place there. In any case, we were happy. We were not that far. There were people very far, but we were all centered and focused on one thing, where the Pope would be at Carina Grandstand the following day to say Mass. I tried to sleep that night, or we all tried to sleep that night. Long lines of people just to go to the restroom, the distribution of food, right? And drink, young people everywhere. So it was very hard to sleep. I tell you, it was very hard to sleep. Hardly a wink I had. Woke up, got up early the following day, and I had to steel myself to go through the crowd to reach the altar, to vest. Too early, so that when the Pope arrived, well, we would be ready to walk in procession to begin a mass. So many priests in the end gathered there to say mass with him. Of course, the bishops had their special arrangements because they were bishops. But we priests, well, I was wearing this white cassock, and I saw this mass of people. So from a distance, maybe you'd say, yeah, it's like the traffic piling in EDSA or in some highway there in Manila. And I found it a very difficult thing because they were already getting packed. I mean, the people were packing themselves so close to each other, like sardines. Literally. So I had to squeeze to the little spaces in between. Maybe I should have gone on my four, on my hands and legs and knees rather, and crawl. Maybe there was more space down there to get through. But at the end, I made it and happily said mass with the Pope, etc. But imagine so many great numbers we are told here gathered around Jesus, following Jesus. So like an army, no? Going with their leader. No wonder he asked his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd to keep him from being crushed. He needed some space, no? For him to preach also, to project his voice farther. I wonder how he did it because there were no sound systems at that time. Well, we just observe, right, from the outside such great masses of people around our Lord, around the Holy Father, around the Beatles. Can you put yourself in the place of the Beatles or any one of the Beatles or in the place of Saint John, Pope John Paul II? You know, to be famous, to be recognized, to be accepted, to be hailed as a leader, as a talent, to be admired. I recall reading or listening to a some audio about Saint Therese of the of Lisieux, how when she was a young girl, she went to a parlor. I mean, she went to a house, and there were ladies there who were seated, and they were talking to each other, and she overheard their admiration for her hair. They admired her hair. I don't know really. I don't know how it was, but you know, there's some women with very nice hair. Maybe they use sun silk or head and shoulders. I don't know. Very nice. And she felt, she says she felt, she, you know, she recognized the stirrings in her soul, the movements of her soul, very, very sensitively. So, such a wonderful woman, so talented. That you know, being admired. And she uttered later on, a short time after that, that she understood how easy it was to go to hell. Wow, that made me ponder. You know, when you try to suck in all the admiration of the people, all their adulation, their praises, their applause, their shouts and screams because of you, and you enjoy it, and you bring it into your soul as if you are. I wonder. This makes me remember about one of the Herods, one of the children or grandchildren of Herod the Great, when he came out in a in somewhere in his domain in Israel, that he was dressed regally. And so when he came out in procession with, I don't know what that occasion was right now, but someone said he is a god. And he accepted it. You know, sometimes we might get to think we are God. The Roman emperors thought they were God. At least some of them. And Herod, that Herod, died. He had a strange sickness that ate him up from the inside. A few days after that, although it sounds like it happened immediately when you read it in the New Testament. So our Lord, we can understand here from this narration of Saint Mark, for he had cured so many that all who were afflicted in any way were crowding forward to touch him. And the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, would fall down before him and shout, "You are the Son of God." And that was the truth. But I don't think our Lord wanted that his enemy, the devil, would preach about him, which would preach for him to others. He warned them strongly not to make him known. So against this tendency we have of being adulated, admired, recognized, put on a pedestal, or a pedestal, or a dais, so everyone could see us, and we let it in, and believe we're something or someone greater than we are really not. Well, Herod was punished because he thought he was God also. And all those Roman emperors who thought they were divine, they also perished. How do we handle those moments of pride, you know, when we have done something good and we are proud of it? And there's a good sense of being proud, you know. We did it. Do we offer it to God? Do we recognize that it is by the grace of God we are able to do it? That it's true that we did it with our talents, with our skills, but all of those came from God also. Do we recognize that? Are we humble to put ourselves, to keep ourselves in our place? Like St. John Paul II, I'm sure when he was receiving all those applause and admiration of throngs of people, he would be praying. He would be offering it to God. He would be doing he was doing the right thing. That's why he's saint. It is God who is great, and we shouldn't forget that we are mere sinners. Thank you for listening, and I bless you now. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain forever. Amen. Ciao!